I'm supposed to remind you also that this Thursday is the Rosh Chodesh year, the PTA Rosh Chodesh year. I double booked myself. That's them two twice this week. I didn't realize it was me this week. I think I would have someone else do the Monday, but all good. But just in terms of you guys' threshold, too much Einhorn's a lot. Okay, I wanted to try something different this morning in terms of Parsha's told us. And you're going to learn your first passage inside of the Zohar. I don't know if you've ever done one of that before. You're going to learn some Zohar. And after a couple lines, you'll see why nobody really learns the Zohar until very mystical circles. But by the end of the show, you'll understand why we did it. Vayigdalu ha-na'arim. It says after, you know, that Rivka gives birth to both Yaakov and Esav, the children grow up. Vayigdalu ha-na'arim. Sitra da'avram. Garim lon li'ith gadla uschute sialon. So I have on the left side a Hebrew translation of this Aramaic, but I'll give you the English. Sitra da'avram means the side of Avram caused them to eat gadla, to grow up. Uschute and his merit, sialon, help them. Hu have mechanech lon b'mitzvot, and he educated them in terms of mitzvot. Dechtiv, as it says, ki edativ leman asher yetzave esbanav. You shall know that in order you should command his children, la'asga Yaakov ve'esav. So it says over here that that Avram helped his grandchildren grow, both Yaakov and Esav. So I'm going to give you first is I'm going to confuse you a little more because first of all before I break it down, I got a new sefer called Toras Menachem, which is by the father of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Levi Yitzchak Schneerson. His stuff is very difficult. If the Zohar wasn't hard enough, he makes the Zohar passage even more difficult. But what's amazing about this sefer is there's a running commentary from his son, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And when you see him in contrast to his father, you understand the greatness of what the Lubavitcher Rebbe was doing that most people don't appreciate. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was taking very difficult concepts, and he was bringing it down to a level where it could be processed by us, by the Hamonam, in a level that makes sense and applies to our lives. That's one of the true greatnesses of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And people don't realize that because we're just getting the end, the distilled part. But where was he getting this from? Where was this coming from? And you see much of it is rooted in a very deep heritage and a very deep esoteric teachings. So I'm going to share with you the teachings of his father, Rav Levi Yitzchak, which is a little bit of heavy Kabbalah, but the payoff will be the interpretation of his son, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. What he does with it is just magical, is incredible. So Rav Levi Yitzchak Schneerson says that we know that Avraham, right, each one of the Avos and the Imahos had a certain Midah, a certain quality. Avraham was the Midah of Chesed, right, was the Midah of Chesed. Hachnasat Orchim, that's why the Akedah Yitzchak was such a difficult test. It went against his nature. Yitzchak was Gevura, strength, power, Pachad Yitzchak, fear. And Yaakov is sort of the balance, the hybrid called Tiferet, splendor, or Emes, or truth, okay? Now, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe's father in interpreting this Zohar, what's happening here is that chesed can make things grow. Kindness is like water. It makes things grow. Fire, which is Yitzchak, whose pachad, whose strength, it minimizes, it consumes. It's very hard to grow in that kind of state, in that kind of environment. So just by the way, it's a great testament to what Judaism is about. Judaism is more about Avraham than it is about Yitzchak. The Rambam has very little on Yitzchak, so much on Avraham and Yaakov's role, almost leaving out Yitzchak's role. The Torah has very little on Yitzchak relative to Avraham and Yaakov, and says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the reason is because Yitzchak's way of life is too difficult for us. It's too prohibitive. It's not the ikker of what Judaism is. So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's what it means. Chesed of Avraham, the kindness of Avraham makes things grow. It makes things beautiful. It makes things nice. Chesed is water. Water makes plant life grow. It allows things to be. Right? Chesed is contagious. Yitzchak was fire, was gvura. very hard to develop in a place of fire and gvura. As we know, something called hellfire musar, they call it in the churches. Hellfire musar means you're all sinners and you'll be banished and you'll be burned if you keep doing this. We don't really use that in our yeshivas. It was an outdated system that lasted for around 50 or 60 years, had a very short shelf life in the history of the Jewish people, because it simply didn't work. It doesn't allow for growth. That type of education does not allow for growth. Rather, chesed, through love and through kindness, that's what allows it to grow. So says Rav Levi Yitzchak Schneerson, the Zohar is telling you, this passage in the Zohar is telling you, right, to review the passage in the Zohar, it says the side of Avram caused the grandchildren to grow, his merit supported them, and he educated them in mitzvah. Leaves out the father. The father's totally absent over here. So, the Zohar is telling you that it was Abraham's schus, his merits, the grandfather, that caused their development. Holid, to give birth, could be Yitzchak. To give birth could be anybody. But to grow, that takes a quality of chesed. It takes a quality of kindness to cause a v'yigdalu hana'arim. And therefore the Zohar says it has to be Avraham. It cannot be Yitzchak. For them to truly grow and develop, it has to be Avraham and Yitzchak. Then Rav Levi Yitzchak says, now what does it mean when the Zohar says, hu have mechanech lan b'mitzvot? He would mechanech them in mitzvot. Right? The theme here seems to be their growth. So, he breaks it down and says, I see here three levels in this Zohar. The Zohar talks about Sitra de Avraham, Garim Lonli Igadla, the side of Avram caused them to grow. That's one. Schute Sialon, his merit supported them. That's two. And Hu Ave Mechanech Lon B'mitzvah, he would educate them in mitzvah. That's three parts to one Zohar. So says Rav Levi Yitzchak, what are they, synonymous? By the way, whenever you have in your learning Tanakh, and sometimes the same phrase is repeated but with different words, there's a little bit of a debate among the commentaries what that means. Does it mean that it's trying to teach you something new? Or, as the Radak says, Kefel Hadvarim B'milim Shonot. It's a repetition of the same idea in different words. You know why you would do it? Sometimes a flowery way of speaking to create emphasis. I don't want you, you would say it, you know, don't mess around with the schedule and don't ruin the schedule. I say the same thing, but I'm trying to just bring it home. Or is Tanakh being careful to use different words because it wants to teach different ideas? The Mefarshim take different sides of the coin on that. But over here, the Zohar is clearly getting at different ideas or elements of Avraham. What is it? So I'm going to confuse you for one more second, and then we're going to go to his son, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he opens this whole Zohar up. He says there's three levels here. There's the first level, which is called Sitra de Avram Garim Lon. The side of Avraham caused. What does that mean? He said that's the level of Chachma, wisdom. The highest level on the Kabbalah chart. There's a wisdom. One's Schusim, merits, are called Bina. And the third level is Chinuch, called Das. Let me explain a background to Kabbalah. In the Kabbalah chart, I don't know if you've ever seen a Kabbalah sphere. In a Kabbalah chart, there are different attributes, different qualities. Near the top is the big three. They're called Chabad. Chabad stands for Chachma, Bina, and Das. Wisdom, insight, and understanding. An analogy to help you understand the difference between all of them. Chachma is like when you get that idea just flashes into your head, but you're not sure yet what it is. You just know, you know the kids need something else. Something's got to change. I don't have the idea yet, but something's got to happen different. Bina is when you're beginning to understand what the problem really is. And now Das is when you could finally apply it, facts on the ground. You have a detailed technical plan how you're going to create that change in your home. So Chachma is the flash of inspiration. Bina is when you begin to process it. And Das is when you apply it. That's why one, Rabbi Nachman says, right, one is supposed to learn Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. You're supposed to learn the Parsha twice with some Targum, whether Unkelus, Rashi, some translation, some explanation. So, says Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, the correct order is read the Parsha once, look at the commentary, and then go back to the Parsha. Why is that the correct order? He says it's Chabad. Chachma Bina Das. The first time you read the Psukim, it's just some idea. Yaakov, Rivka, I don't know. When you look at the Perush, that's Bina. You're beginning to understand something now. The key is not to stop there, is now to go back to the Psukim and apply what you learned to reread the Psukim. People don't realize that. People, when they look at a commentary or a thought, they just take the commentary and you run with it. But the main point of a good commentary is to now, once you have it, you now go back and read the words and everything has changed. I mean, I'll give you just an example from the, let me give you one example from the Parsha. So Parsha is this week, Toldos, and here. Yeah, it says, V'Yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. Yaakov was a simple person who dwelled in tents. So it sounds like Yaakov wasn't up to much. You know, Esav was a hunter, Yaakov did nothing. He just sat in a tent. Okay? So now, the classic shot is that what does it mean he sat in tents? The classic one is that he learned Torah. And tam, therefore, does not mean complete, but tam means innocence, a simplicity. So now when I know that, I reread these words as Yaakov Ishtam. Yaakov had a certain sincerity. Not like a Tom, like with a kid who doesn't know anything at the Pesach Seder. But a Tom, there was a sincerity, Yoshev Oalim, because he sat and he learned Torah. Another interpretation, Yoshev Oalim, who sits in a tent? Someone who's watching the sheep, the flock. They're sitting there under the sun, protected, so they could watch the sheep grazing. Then what is Tom? Tom means a well-rounded, complete person. Now I read that back in. Yaakov Ishtam. Yaakov was a well-rounded, diverse person. Yoshev Olim. He sat in tents so he could watch the animals. You understand? When you have a pshat, someone gives you a pshat, whether Rashi or you find it in an art scroll, whatever you hear, a good pshat needs to read well back into the psukim. If it doesn't read well back into the psukim, something is wrong with it. It's flawed. Okay? That's just a basic in terms of learning, in terms of learning Chumash. Now, so he says there's three levels of going on here with Avram. There's Chabad, Chachma Bina Das. First of all, there's Sitra de Avram, something that Avram caused, right? That is the level of Chachma. Then there is the Schus of Avram. That is what you call Bina, the wisdom, the insight. And then the third level is the Chinuch, right? The third, where he educated, and that's Das. And he says, if you look, the Zohar said the word Lon. If you see the word lon is there. The word lon, it means caused it. Sitra d'Avram garim lon, caused them, I guess. Lon is them, the kids. It says lon three times. It's talking about the kids. Three times lon in gematria is Elohim. It's God, and God is here through the whole thing. Okay, very heavy stuff. I would never give a shir on that normally, if not for the Lubavitcher Rebbe's comments on his father to explain them for us. Now let's explain these three items in a way that makes sense to us. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, if you notice, there's a different word used by each. First is Sitra de Avram, the side of Avram. What did that do? It caused Garim. It caused them to grow. Then there is Schut, the Schut of Avram, Sia Lon. It supported them. And then there was Mechanech Lon, educated them in mitzvahs. What are these three levels? What are these three levels? There are some things that impact our children because they were born that way. They're just born with those traits.
Nature, nurture.
Nature versus nurture. There are certain things, whether it's a stubbornness or the opposite, a tenacity, whichever way you want to look at it, there is a quality within them that they could not avoid. It's in them. We passed it to them. You could blame your spouse and say their side of the family. Whatever it is, it came to them genetically. Okay? It came to that child. It picked one child and not the other. It split in a funny way. Whatever it is, it passed the child in the way it was. So he says, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's Sitra Davram Garim Lon. The word is Garim. You ever hear it on Shabbos? Grumma. For example, if I have a system where I take a tennis ball and I can get it to bounce seven times before it shuts off the light, that's what you call grumma on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. But it's not the same level as actively shutting off the light. It's what you call a grumma. It's causative. It's a causative action. They have this new light switch, the grumma switch, which is supposed to make your turning on and off light incidental to five different maneuvers. Grumma means you caused it. It's not direct, but it caused. So in one hand, they grew up, these children, because Avraham, Sitra da Avram, something genetically Avram had put into them. No one had to do any work. They just had to be born. And they already were fortunate to have Avram as their grandfather. It put something in them. Then there's the second level. There's Schute Sialon. The merit supported them. Some things are able to impact a child, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe. merely by the connection we have to them. One is DNA. Number two is if we have a kesher with them. If we have a connection, then they're impacted by that, not in terms of what they learn from us, but because we've connected ourselves to them, and that in turn has impacted them to act a certain way. There's the concept of yichus. Lorelli Alopian once said, people talk a lot about yichus. Oh, I have a great yichus, I have a great yichus. But yichus means nothing. It's like an umbrella. If you're not standing under the umbrella, you're not going to be dry from the rain. In order to talk about the yichus you have to be living a certain way that lives under the umbrella of the yichus you're claiming to have. You're claiming to come from a certain great, famous rabbi. You could talk about that all day. But if you yourself are not behaving in that way, you're not under that umbrella. So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the second idea of Schusei Sialon is by virtue of the fact he was their grandfather, they already had a certain leg up. They already had a certain leg up. Forget genetics. Just in terms of identity. People knew this is Avram's grandchildren. They knew they had to behave a certain way. We're Avram's grandchildren. The connection to Avram itself already created a change in who they were. I mean, think of someone who's, someone is born as the grandchild, a granddaughter, a grandson of a king or a queen. Because of that position and that connection to the position, certain expectations of their life is expected. It's lahavdil what makes people so fascinated by the life of the children and grandchildren of the king and queen, the Queen of England. You understand? Their lives are insignificant to anybody in the world. The reason why people love hearing about it is because it goes against what they should be doing, being the grandchildren aligns with what they're doing of the grandchild of a queen of England. It's the contrast that people love that's so shocking and jarring. It's called irony, right? It's called irony. So that's the idea. It's only ironic because once you have a connection to a certain position, it changes who you are, no matter what. It changes you one way or the other, for better or for worse. So over here, the second level is not the genetics, but rather the connection of identity to their grandfather, Avram. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that makes sense why the different word is used. The genetics, garamlon, cause them to be such. And the zchute, the zchus, sialon, it supported them. I'm giving you a leg up. I'm helping you out here. I'm your grandfather. I'm giving you a little nudge. I'm helping you out to grow here. You have the pedigree. So I'm moving you forward. But then comes the highest level, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The tachlis hashlemus, as he calls it, the essence of perfection, is have mechanech lan b'mitzvot, is to educate them in terms of the mitzvah. You see, you could rely on DNA. You could say they got the brains already. They're from the smart side of the family. You could say they got the schus, the merit. Everybody knows them when they apply to Harvard. That's the Frankenthal family. Everybody knows them. Everybody knows them already. At the end of the day, though, the one thing that's going to give them a strength to have standing in life is to mechanechlon, is to educate them, is to give them, to actually literally empower them with the information and the knowledge of life, and whether academics and emotional knowledge, whatever's included in mechanechlon, included in that concept, that's the real way you're going to cause them to grow. That's the real way. So that's what it means, vayigdalu hanarim, and the children were raised, they were elevated, they were lifted up through three ways: their grandfather's DNA, their grandfather's schusim, and their grandfather's education. That's the Lubavitcher Rebbe interpretation of his father. He says, that's what I think my father was getting at, for us simple people to understand what this means. But then he asks the bomb question. But here's the problem, and you may have been wondering it yourself all along. What? Where is Yitzchak? Where is Yitzchak? And by the way, his answer to the Yitzchak question is one of that Yitzchak's role was minimized because of that intensity. It's not the normal mode of Jewish life, right? What? That's the big kasha. That's the big question. Wait a second. If they had Avram's DNA, if they have Avram's schusim, and they have Avram's education, something's wrong here. And by the way, you don't have to assume something's wrong. You just keep reading that pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayigdulu hanarim." The children grew up. Vayehi Esav ish yodei tzayin, and Esav became a hunter of food. So it's not even like you have to start reading into Esav's life or have to wait 10 psukim to see that the education of Avram backfired. You just walk two more words over, and you see, wait a second, it sounds like V'yigdulu Hanarim is something positive, the way the Zohar interprets it, but three words later it says he became a hunter in the field, which doesn't sound like a holy elevation in any way. So it means that Avram caused him to grow, how? To become the person he was. Avram caused, that's what the Babitcher Rebbe says, it sounds like Avram caused him to grow in the way that he became. And this is where the Lubavitcher Rebbe says the most amazing and incredible insight. He says, there were 26 generations before the Torah was actually given. 26 generations before the Torah was given. How did the world survive without Torah? God's chesed, God's kindness, sustained the world. Right? Meaning the question presupposes the following idea, that the world cannot exist without Torah. Torah is its water. So how did the world exist without Torah for those 26 generations? God's chesed. God's sheer kindness enabled the world to exist. By the way, that's why the world was having such a tough time. Floods and constant idolatry and paganism. It was having a tough time sustaining itself. That's not a Jewish comment, by the way. Thomas Cahill, who wrote the book The Gift of the Jews, says an idea like that from a non-mystical place. That the morality the Jewish people brought into the world brought sanity to a crazy world. Now, take that idea, and how did the world sustain itself before Matan Torah? God's chesed. Now think what that means. You know what that means? God's chesed was educating the world. The world was rampant with idolatry, paganism, craziness, and madness. God's chesed caused that? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, chesed is like a light. If it shined all over the place, at a certain level, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example like this. You could use a box cutter to open up a package so that someone has an amazing gift. And you could use a box cutter, 9/11, to take one of the planes. Something in this world, no matter how positive, at a certain level, at a certain force field, could be used for negative as well. Could be used in a destructive way. Could be used to wreak havoc. The Midrashim talk about that the idea of there's a certain midah of chesed in needing to take many partners. Someone who goes searching for multiple partners, and their one spouse is not enough, looking for multiple partners, that search is chesed unchecked. It's chesed unstructured. It's wanting to share love in the unhealthiest way, in the most twisted and backwards way. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's with any midah. So what Avram could do is Avram can't make you be you. Avram could pass on what's inside of you, and let's see how that grows. I could put that all into you, but at a certain point, you're going to have to maintain a certain structure if that's ever going to see itself to its fullest extent. And he says, if you look at it, v'yigdalu hana'arim, v'yesav ish yode tzayed, the fact that Esav was a hunter was not a bad thing. It's exactly what Avraham wanted. Why? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, what Avram wanted to put into his grandchildren was that you're going to need both. You're going to need Yaakov ish tam, Yoshev olim. I'll read his exact words, because this is so huge for Jewish hashkafa. He says, Adayin tzarech lahavin eich yatim ze im hemshech divrei hazor. How does this all fit, this whole beautiful thing of three types of education, genetics, chusim, all that. How does that fit with the end of the pasuk, where he's busy trapping animals, where he's busy yodei tzayed? So he says like this, it is known in Kabbalah that the avos and the imahos, the fathers and the mothers, are a merkava. They're what's called a chariot for God's will in this world. They are a chariot. They set the bar, the example, for what God wants of us in this world. And they pass that on. So he says, what was Avram passing on to his children? That when it comes to serving God, there are two aspects. There are avodas tzadikim. There's the work of the tzaddik, there's the work of the one who is learning, and there's the work of the worker, the hunter. And God wanted both. Avram had both in him. Avram was a very spiritual human being, but at the same time, the Torah tells us how wealthy he was. What a great businessman he was. What amazing, what he was able to do with his area. Lot had to move away from him. It was too much, the business. It was growing so rapidly. Avram had both in him. And he was trying to cause that to grow into both of his grandchildren. V'yigdalu hanarim. He wanted them to elevate, bring out both. Yaakov ishtam yoshev olim. He was learning Torah. And Esav was hunting. They were beginning to grow in the way they should have grown. Nimso shetivo tolda shel Esav lahamsh. However, he says that the idea of Esav going towards Avodah Zarah, amazing, was not a rebellion against Avraham. It was just what happens when you take half the picture. You know what's an example of this? This comes up all the time with our children. You want to teach them to be critical thinkers. You want to teach them to be a critical thinker. What happens when you raise a child who's a critical thinker and undoes existence of God and undoes race relations in America? They have a whole way of looking at it. They look at the numbers and this race is destroying America. You raise them to be a critical thinker, and the result is they came out an atheist who's a national, white supremacist, nationalist atheist you just created. You raise them to be a thinker, a critical thinker, which is a great value. The answer is, when you give somebody half the midah, when they only select half of what you raise them to be, and they drop the other half, whatever that other half is, when they drop that other half, the side of chesed, the side of emunah, the side of connection, the side of bringing the world together, you end up with a twisted picture. Not because they rebelled against you, but because they took half of the pie. That's the Gevaldic idea of the Lubavitcher Rebbe here. That's such a Gevaldic idea. The idea is not that he rebelled against his grandfather. It's that he didn't take Avram's full story. You know what you do with this? Sometimes when you have a child or someone you're or somebody else, a friend of yours even, and you're looking at them and they're manifesting something negative, it might not be that it's a negative character trait. It might be that's the result of the character trait when they don't have the other half of what you're offering them. You understand? They are maybe, you taught them to be a go-getter, which is amazing, but take the go-getter without the kindness, and then you have someone who will just destroy people's lives to get what they want. You understand? That's what it means, Avram holy to Yitzchak. It's an unbelievable message in Chinuch, that sometimes it seems like someone's rebelling against us. It's not. They're living what you educated them to live. They just took half the lesson. They stopped the shir midway, and they missed the other half of it. And that's the Gevaldic idea. That, I think, is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. That's what this Zohar is telling you. Now you read it totally different. Go back to the Zohar. We'll read it through the eyes of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. V'yigdalu hana'arim. The children were raised up. What do you mean were raised up? Sitra d'Avraham garim lon. It can't be Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is all fire. It's consuming. It could destroy. Sitra d'Avram garim lon. It's Avram's DNA that caused them to grow. Lid gadla uzchut eselon. And it's his merit that caused it. First of all, the sheer fact they have his blood, the chesed blood running through them. Esav wanted to bring his father the meat. He wanted to do more. When he met with his brother Yaakov, he kissed him. Midrashim aside. He kissed him and he hugged him. He wanted the side of chesed. Uzchutei sialon. Avraham's merit already was supporting them. He had a birthright. Esav gave it away. See, he had Avram's pedigree. I have the birthright. And he sold it. He didn't value it. And then the third was, huavi mechanech lon b'mitzvot. He educated them in mitzvot. He taught them that which was right and good. As it says, v'yegadlu hanarim v'esav ish yodei tzayed. He became a hunter. Hunter is not yet a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. The Zohar's teaching you, it's what Avram wanted for his grandchild. You need to be a hunter. That's your nature. So that ultimately, I think, is the most powerful. I think there's two takeaways, I would say, from this Lubavitcher Rebbe. Number three is we have to think about the impact on our children of all three levels, where they're coming from, who their relationship is with, who they're connected to, and number three, the specific education that they're getting. That's one message of the Lubavitcher Rebbe or the Zohar. The second message, which I think is a huge one that we never think about, is sometimes when we see negative traits in other people, or we see negative in our own children, or even ourselves, understand that it might not be a negative trait and it might not be rebellion. It could just be what happens to education when you only take half of the message. when you're only sharing half of the message. Sometimes chesed without the other side of the equation, without the balance, is destructive. Chesed without loyalty. You know what chesed without loyalty is? I do kindness for everyone. I don't take care of my family first. That's chesed without the other half of the education. Chesed, I'm going to love everybody. I'm not going to be loyal to my spouse first and foremost. That's chesed without proper chinuch, without the other half. Without the other half. So that's the pshat in v'yigdalu hanarim. Avram raised them. He trained them. He gave them education. What happened with Esav in the end? He was a good person initially. But what probably happened, according to Lubavitch Rebbe, is he left. He didn't fully develop in all areas, and it creates an imbalance. Why I like this pshat? You know why? Now it lets us read ish tam. Yaakov was an ish tam. It's a perfect word. We always think it means a simpleton. Yaakov was a simpleton. It's not. Tam means mushlam. He was complete. He was balanced. And that's why you see, after Yaakov gets the birthright back, he doesn't sit and learn for the rest of his life. He works. He becomes a majorly successful person. He works. Because Yaakov was a balance. He goes to learn for 14 years. And then he goes to work for all those years. He's learning in the yeshiva Shem and Aver, and then he goes to work. He's balanced in his life. The Torah for him is first, but it's Torah and they call it a learner-earner. Right? That's the category now. Is he a learner-earner? But that really is the balance of a Jew. The balance of a Jew is to live with both sides of the coin, and that is to be able to understand that that you are supposed to be both. Instead, they split off. Yaakov and Esav split, and Yaakov had to compensate and become both. Because Esav could not fulfill the other half of what he was destined to do. And not to see the trapping part as the negative. To see the trapping part is, yeah, you're almost there. You got it. You're good. You're a hunter. We're going to need some of that for the Jewish people. We're going to need those soldiers. But you need the other half as well. I mean, to this day, I think when you see someone who's in a Hesder yeshiva, you see somebody who's, as we say, Safra v'Saifa, who lives with a sefer in one hand and a gun in the other hand as a soldier for Israel, we shouldn't ever have to need guns. But as we live in the world we live in today, to understand the image of such a person is really living an identity that Judaism has always said was a magnificent ideal. To be the one who needs to do the hunting, the conquering, whatever needs to be done in this world to make this world better. And number two, to also have that Torah with them at all times. Okay, we'll stop there for today.